Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, thousands turn out for yesterday's opening of a FIFA fan festival in downtown Atlanta. A Savannah homeless shelter is expanding its services, and the 1996 Olympic torch is moving downtown, which upsets residents of one Atlanta neighborhood.
You would not move forward with this move if you understood fully the significance and the attachment people have in this part of town to the torch.
Today is Friday, June 12th. I'm Peter Biello, and this is Georgia Today. Thousands of soccer fans turned out for yesterday's opening of a FIFA fan festival in downtown Atlanta. The venue promises concerts, activities, and watch parties as the city hosts 8 matches in the World Cup. Governor Brian Kemp spoke at the opening yesterday.
We have put in the work. We have made the necessary preparations. And now, FIFA World Cup 2026 is here. Let's kick off the celebration that we'll never forget.
And as the excitement builds towards the first match in Atlanta on Monday, GPB's Amanda Andrews spoke to the Atlanta teens selected to open the game as flag bearers.
Coca-Cola and the Children's Miracle Network Hospital selected a team of youth ambassadors to kick off the opening matches in the U.S., including 12 kids in Atlanta. Each flag bearer has overcome significant injuries or health challenges. 13-year-old Collier Bainbridge has had 2 open heart surgeries. Now he's a soccer player himself. Bainbridge says he's excited to be a flag bearer and see his favorite Spanish players.
I mean, I can't wait to see like Pedri and all that. But I'm kind of devastated that Lamine Yamal is injured for the group stage. But he will be back on if they make it to the round 16, which they will.
Spain will play Cabo Verde in the first Atlanta World Cup match. Kickoff is at noon. For GPB News, I'm Amanda Andrews.
Leaders in one Atlanta neighborhood are upset about the planned relocation of a monument dating to the 1996 Olympic Games. The city's Olympic torch is set to move from its longtime home in Summer Hill to downtown Centennial Olympic Park. GPB's Sarah Callis reports.
The Summer Hill neighborhood, south of downtown Atlanta, was developed on land surrounding the original Olympic Stadium for the 1996 Games. It's now home to the Georgia State University Panthers. Residents say moving the torch prioritizes tourists over residents. Representative Phil Olaye, who represents Summer Hill in the State House of Representatives, says the torch is embedded in the community as a symbol of pride and resiliency.
You would not move forward with this move if you understood fully the significance and the attachment that people have in this part of town to the torch.
Olaye says leaders in Summer Hill will explore every option to stop the move. For GPB News, I'm Sarah Callis in Atlanta.
A Savannah homeless shelter is expanding its services. Union Mission today celebrated the opening of its $5 million Emmaus House Resource Center, made possible by community fundraising. Shelter CEO Michael Trainer called the new facility a multi-organization partnership to help people end their homelessness.
Medical care from J.C. Lewis Healthcare, workforce development through Goodwill and Savannah Tech. Actually, a barbershop is in the building where we can do hair and shampoo, get people ready for an interview, food, case management for housing, and also mental health counseling.
It'll begin serving clients on Wednesday. In Macon, a homeless shelter serving mostly families is adding 2 houses to its portfolio. GPB's Grant Blankenship reports they were made possible by a local affordable housing fund.
Macon's Brookdale Resource Center shelters entire families experiencing homelessness and converted classrooms of what was once an elementary school in a neighborhood where over a third of households live below the poverty line. Now, money from Macon-Bibb County's revolving affordable housing fund will be used to renovate and construct 2 homes nearby in the Payne City neighborhood to use as supportive housing for families. Brookdale Center Executive Director Allison Bender.
Housing means children can remain in the same schools, ride the same bus routes, and maintain friendships and relationships with teachers and classmates. Adults can stay connected to their jobs, healthcare providers, faith communities, and support networks.
In a typical year, Bibb County spends all of its federal funding allocated for rehousing families. For GPB News, I'm Grant Blankenship in Macon.
Governor Brian Kemp has appointed a Superior Court judge who lost her re-election bid to serve on the Georgia Court of Appeals.
Fulton County Judge Paige Reese Whitaker narrowly was defeated at the polls by Nikia Smith Sellers last month. Kemp today named Whitaker to the 15-member appeals court, creating the possibility that Sellers' election to the lower court could be voided. That's because Georgia law allows the governor to appoint a successor in judicial vacancies, and those successors can serve until the next general election held more than 6 months after the appointment. Kemp's office did not respond when asked if he would appoint Sellers to the vacancy created by Whitaker's appointment. Whitaker presided over several notable cases, including the long-running gang and racketeering case against Atlanta rapper Young Thug and others. Sellers ran for election based partly on her experience as an assistant district attorney in Fulton County. A Middle Georgia man is facing federal mail fraud charges after prosecutors say he used a scheme to avoid paying for thousands of dollars worth of rare collectible coins. According to a federal indictment, Scott Hardwick bought two coins valued at more than $29,000 from dealers in New Hampshire and Texas between 2022 and 2024. Prosecutors say he later reported the credit card transactions as fraudulent but never returned the coins. The coins were shipped to the Macon area. Hardwick faces two counts of mail fraud. If convicted, he could face up to 20 years in prison on each count. There is a new, potentially money-saving parking option if you plan to visit one of Georgia's most popular beach destinations this summer. The city of Tybee Island this week announced that it's now selling $25 a day passes for parking. Until now, visitor parking was available only at the rate of $4 per hour. That means if you plan to stay on the island for a little more than 6 hours, it's cheaper to use the day pass. It's available online or by using the Park TYB app whenever you head for the surf, sand, restaurants, and other attractions on Tybee Island. The Georgia High-Low Trail is opening a 3-mile trail at the Forest Grove Preserve in Washington County tomorrow. It's the nonprofit's first completed trail in Washington County and will serve as a primary venue for a kids' bike league program. The Georgia High-Low Trail is a nonprofit aiming to connect communities across 8 Georgia counties from North Georgia's Greene County to coastal Chatham County with more than 200 miles of paved trail. Freddie Hendricks has accumulated an impressive resume in his nearly half century in the arts and entertainment industry. He's an accomplished actor, singer, writer, director, and producer. Twice he was honored with a Distinguished Teacher of America Award by President Bill Clinton, and now we can add that he's a Tony Award winner. Last weekend, Hendricks was honored with the Tony Award for Excellence in Teaching, and he's with me now to talk about his work. Welcome, and congrats on the award.
Hey, thank you so very much.
What would you say is the approach to teaching that earned you not just this Tony Award, but multiple accolades throughout the years?
Well, I think the key to that is honesty, love, as much passion as you can give to the kids, to your students. Acceptance. When you're free and you give all of those things, it allows them to be free like that, especially in theater, because theater teaches so much. My hope is that my teaching changes their lives the way theater has changed mine.
How has it changed yours?
It's just made me a better person. It makes me understand focus. When I was younger, I had no idea what focus was. I didn't know what I had to focus on. I didn't know. Even when I went to college, I went to see my first play, The Glass Menagerie by Tennessee Williams. This was fall quarter, my first weekend on campus, and it just blew my mind. I was like, I finally found my people. This is what I need to do. Maybe if that was on a Friday, that Monday, I went and changed my major from sociology to speech and theater arts, a minor in musical theater. And I never looked back after that.
So when you saw The Glass Menagerie, did you want to act? Did you want to direct? Or did you just want to jump into theater, whatever role might be available to you?
I just wanted to be a part of whatever that was. Whatever made them that free to get up there in front of a theater full of people and express themselves and take on different characters and to live in it. You know what I mean? Because I had never seen a live theater before in my life. And it seemed so real to me. It was just like, oh, wow, look at this. I had heard of Tennessee Williams before, but I don't think I had ever heard of The Glass Menagerie, but it just changed my life to the point as to where when I my last year at Tri-Cities High School for the Visual and Performing Arts in East Point, I directed that show. And it was extremely successful, and it brought back so many great memories. Because I'd always told myself, I was like, when I become a director, I'm going to direct Glass Menagerie, because it changed my life. And I finally did.
You mentioned that you brought love and passion to your teaching. And I think a lot of us have had teachers who I guess we could describe as having love and passion for the job that they did. And it manifested, at least in my experience, with teachers who were willing to kind of stay late with me and work on the stuff that I was really struggling with. How did that love and passion manifest for you, for your students?
Well, one thing, what I did, what love made me do, was accept who they were. Whatever they gave me, I accepted that, you know, because they're all different. And as a teacher, what I learned is that I have to hone in to each and every one of my students and find out their needs, because all the students need something different. And at first, I didn't know that. And I think that's what makes teaching so challenging, because, well, at least for me, because I try to relate to each and every one of my kids. Yeah, man, teaching, that's my calling. I think everybody should try to find what it is specifically that they're called to do on earth. And I think that's what I'm called to do on earth. And I have a Tony to prove it.
You teach at Utopian Academy for the Arts in Ellenwood,
yes.
Southeast
yes.
Atlanta. You could probably teach anywhere you wanted to. Why choose to teach at Utopian Academy?
Well, one of my kids who I taught founded all of those schools. I think there's like four locations. Four charter school locations in the Atlanta metropolitan area. And when I found out he was there, I said, yes, let's do this. Because I was so proud of him, man. Just think, your kid, one of your kids that you've taught started all of these four or five schools and then asked you to come and teach. I'm like, I couldn't turn that down.
As part of the Tony Award, your school gets $10,000, if I'm understanding correctly. Do you have an idea of how the school might use that money?
I think the school goes to my department, to the theater arts department. And what I want to do is just expose them to more things, more field trips, better sets for whatever productions we do, better costumes, props, everything. I just want to take everything to another level, because last year was quite wonderful, you know, and I really wasn't surprised that last year came out so well, but I want to be better. Not want to. It will be better this year because of the Tonys, I'm sure.
The students will also receive a visiting masterclass taught by Carnegie Mellon drama professors. So what can you tell us about that experience? Do you know anything about it yet?
Not too much. I just know what's happening. And from what I heard from last year's winner of the Tony for Excellence in Theater Education, that the kids are going to love it.
What are your students saying to you about the Tony Award?
It's, hey, man, that is so wild, because they didn't know what a Tony Award was. I had to say, like, do you know what a Grammy is? Yeah, music, yeah. It's just kind of the same thing, but it's in my field. It's in theater. Have you ever heard of Broadway? I think so. Is that why they do plays? I said, absolutely. Absolutely, absolutely. So everything is a learning experience for my kids right now. And I have so much to share with them when I get back to school, you know, about the wonderful time I had in New York, about the people that I've met. Most importantly is about the things that I've learned about myself, you know.
What have you learned about yourself?
That I'm great.
Say more about that.
I'm great. I always thought that I was great, but I never admitted it to myself. Yeah, I do this. Yeah. Oh, Freddie, you're good. You're great, man. Thank you. Now I'm like, yes, thank you. I am. And I want to, hopefully I can influence everybody else around me to believe that they are too. Because like I tell everybody, this is like my, I might say mantra, I don't know. But it's like, I think we're all born great. I think that's the gift. We're all born great. And when we find our passion, we begin to practice that and live in it, we're living in our greatness. So now the only thing to do is to be greater. And that's where I am in my life. I just want to be greater. I just want to give more. I just want to love more. And I just want to appreciate everything around me. So... yeah, so that's a kind of So that's the kind of cat I am. You know, I just appreciate everything, man. Like being here with you today, I was looking so forward to this. You know, I just think as human beings, we need to embrace every single thing, every moment, because life is so beautiful.
Freddie Hendricks, thank you so much for speaking with me, and congrats again on the Tony.
Hey, man, thank you so very much. And it was an honor and a pleasure to speak with you today.
And in honor of National Fishing and Boating Week, the Georgia Department of Natural Resources is offering a free fishing day tomorrow. Georgia residents can fish public waters without a fishing license, trout license, or lands pass. And that is a wrap on a busy week of news. Thank you so much for choosing Georgia Today as your way to stay informed. We'll be back on Monday, so make sure you subscribe and check gpb.org/news for any updates to the stories you heard on the podcast today. Your feedback is welcome, and the best way to get it to us is by email. Send your note to georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Peter Biello. Thanks again for listening. We will see you on Monday.